Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New music used to be bought in stores. Now it's going straight to video games. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up, reassessing the numbers on Central Park's Great Lawn, and the New York rock band Ambulance LTD plays live. But first, there was a time when music was only the bleep bleep background to adventure and sports and shoot 'em up video games. But now, with the blockbuster popularity of games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band and Grand Theft Auto, whose theme you're hearing now, songs have taken center stage, and music marketers are taking notice. This September, Guns N' Roses will release a single from its long-overdue, much-leaked album, Chinese Democracy, on the new Rock Band 2. And Metallica is making every song from the upcoming Death Magnetic available on the latest version of Guitar Hero. Joining us now to discuss the trend and what it means is Rob Levine, freelance writer for the New York Times and others, and Chris Kohler, the games editor at Wired.com. Chris is on the line. Rob's here in the studio. Guys, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Rob, let me start with you. Guns N' Roses, Chinese Democracy, this album has been in the making for almost a decade and a half. I mean, an epic slog through the studio. Why debut the album at the end of all that time on a video game?
Well, I mean, I think there's people are placing bets on whether Democracy will come to China before this album comes to stores. But I think that, I mean, the easy answer is obviously that when you have an album that's been in the works for so long, you have to do something special. You have to draw attention to it. But the, you know, as you know, the trend is that video games really reach people as a promotional vehicle. It really gets at the audience that is buying music, that is buying rock. You know, teenagers are very engaged in video games, and it also reaches people in a way that radio doesn't, and it's very involving in a way that radio isn't.
Now, there's an interactive component that I want to get to in a little bit, but Chris, let me ask you, with so many games focusing on music and bands like Guns N' Roses and Metallica focusing on games, does this reflect a changing demographic in the gaming industry?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, games like Rock Band and Guitar Hero and, of course, video game systems like the Wii and Nintendo DS are absolutely, you know, they're showing over and over again that they're bringing in new people, people who typically wouldn't consider themselves video gamers just because of the controls are so simple. The gameplay makes so much sense. You don't have to sit and explain to somebody, okay, you know, you're a guy and you're jumping over here and you're shooting this guy. No. I mean, it's like you play guitar, you're playing drums. It's very, very easy to get people into it. The multiplayer aspect of games like Rock Band was so key. I mean, I actually took Rock Band, the original Rock Band, home this Christmas. Got my mom playing it. My mom was playing bass. My dad was on the drums. I was singing. Like, it was incredible. And they didn't want to stop.
So do you think this was a good decision by Guns N' Roses to you know, go ahead and make this deal to release the song as a part of a video game?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at what happened with Motley Crue, actually, they released the title track off of their new album, Saints of Los Angeles, first as a Rock Band downloadable level, and that actually worked out very well for them. Apparently, by the end of May, the song had actually sold more copies as a downloadable Rock Band level than it had through iTunes. So it's what it's doing is it's engaging that audience that's looking for the what's the next level that's coming out, what's the next song, even if I don't like Motley Crue, I'm going to download this, I'm going to play it. Maybe I'm going to discover that I really do like Motley Crue, and I'm going to go and buy the album.
Well, in fact, 14,000 copies of this song were sold on iTunes, nearly three times that amount, 48,000 on Rock Band through the Xbox Live Network. Here is Motley Crue and that song, Saints of Los Angeles.
You want it, believe it.
One day you will confess and pray to the saints of Los Angeles.
Motley Crue. Saints of Los Angeles debuted at number 4 on the Billboard charts earlier this month, but through their exposure on the video game Rock Band through Xbox, they sold almost 3 times as many downloads as they did on iTunes. And we are talking about the fact that video games might be saving the radio stars these days. It's a booming market for music and marketing, and we're talking with Rob Levine here in the studio, Chris Kohler on the line with us. Rob, Chris is talking about getting his parents to play Rock Band. I mean, the Soundcheck crew, you know, found Rock Band to be a kind of addictive experience.
My parents did as well. I'm ready to have a little Levine Kohler challenge. Bring it, man.
That can be next week's Soundcheck Smackdown.
It's like the Partridge Family versus the Brady Bunch. We'll throw down.
We're the Partridges, though.
So, now, in terms of, I mean, the Motley Crue thing is an impressive achievement, Rob. What about Aerosmith, who, you know, have gotten into the video game thing in a big way as well?
Well,
tell us that story.
They've actually gone into it in a bigger way. They have their own branded game. So, you had Guitar Hero 3, and then you have Guitar Hero Aerosmith, which is actually sort of, I guess, Guitar Hero 3.5. Aerosmith loves their fractions. And it's branded with Aerosmith. It's filled with Aerosmith songs and some songs that influenced Aerosmith. And you actually play the role of Aerosmith from a high school gym to, I think, Red Square or some stadium in Moscow. I guess a stadium in Moscow, I forget. And, you know, you get to do all those Aerosmith songs. And the band, you know, the band's images are in it. They were wired with motion capture to, you know, you can do the Steven Tyler, you see Steven Tyler in his lips and all that, and it's great exposure.
Is there anything else?
One is afraid to wonder, but it's great exposure for a band like that, and I have to imagine they made a lot more money than on any album in a long time.
Chris, you played that game?
I have played Guitar Hero Aerosmith, yeah. I mean, it's essentially, it's Guitar Hero 3 with Aerosmith branding on it. They've done some interesting things. But the game, for me, is kind of stuck in the middle. Like, obviously, it's great that Aerosmith is, you know, jumping in feet first. But at the same time, you know, we've got Guitar Hero World Tour coming out very, very soon, which is going to feature not only guitar, but drums and vocals, just like Rock Band. And so Guitar Hero Aerosmith, not as compelling, I think, for people who are already really deeply into this.
Because of the interactivity that will be coming down the line with the next iteration of the game?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at this point, like, we've all kind of moved on to these full band experiences, and the guitar-only experiences is sort of... I mean, obviously, there's going to be a place for that, just because there's some people who that's exactly what they want to do. They've been playing Guitar Hero forever, or they just play by themselves, and they love Aerosmith. But for people looking for the next big thing, Aerosmith isn't as exciting.
All right, well, iPod came out. There was a U2-branded iPod. It came loaded with all these U2 songs. This version of Guitar Hero comes loaded with all of this music by Aerosmith.
Jeannie got a gun. Jeannie got a gun. Whole world's come undone. Looking straight at the sun.
Aerosmith played Janie's Got a Gun, but you can too with the new version of Guitar Hero called Guitar Hero Aerosmith. We're talking about the collision of the worlds of music and gaming today on Soundcheck with Rob Levine, freelance writer for the New York Times and other publications, in the studio. Chris Kohler, the games editor for Wired.com, with us on the line. Rob, you alluded before to the interactivity angle of this. So when we're talking about games like Guitar Hero, where you are playing a fake guitar and following the music on the screen,
or Rock Band, where you and three other people are playing the guitar and the bass and singing and playing the drums, that's a very different experience from playing Grand Theft Auto or you know, any of the other games that are out there. What is it, a different musical experience as well?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not only different from playing video games, it's a profoundly different music experience. I mean, there was a time 20 or 30 years ago when most of the people that listened to music did so at home on the couch in front of a stereo. Now when people are listening to music, they're listening to music while they're making dinner, while they're playing with the kids, while they're in a car, while they're in a club. It only gets so much of your attention. The nature of playing these games is you give it your full, undivided attention. It seems quaint to say, in a way that very few things in media get anyone's undivided attention anymore, especially if you're playing drums, which is a lot like the real drums. You are really in the groove, or in my case, you know, vaguely near the groove, it, sort of in the extended neighborhood of the groove.
And you're getting that immediate feedback because the crowd is booing you if you're not in the groove, you know?
And I throw stuff if they boo too hard, I just want to say. No, but it's really involving and it's really exciting.
Chris, same question to you. I mean, it is a different kind of musical experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that for me goes back a long way because, I mean, I've been playing, you know, let me establish my video game geek credentials right here. I've been playing video games for, you know, just the last decade, all kinds of video games that use rhythm, that take songs and have you play them in some capacity. And it really is, it really does change the way that you think about music. It's, you know, music-based video games have really opened my eyes up to a whole lot of different music that I ordinarily wouldn't listen to, you know, wouldn't think was very good. But when you're actually in there and you're actually interacting with the music, you know, the level of understanding that you get is so much better.
Well, one of the things that strikes me is the bands we've been talking about, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Aerosmith, Motley Crue, there's a lot of metal there. Is that what you're talking? Is that a kind of music you would not have normally listened to?
Yeah, in a way. Also, there's a game for the Nintendo DS that's very similar. It's called Elite Beat Agents, where you sort of tap the system's touchscreen in time to pieces of music. And actually, one of the songs that's in there is Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne, which, I mean, I ordinarily would not even have considered. But then after playing through the level, you start to appreciate, like, a lot of the little interesting musical things that it does. I don't think I've downloaded that off of iTunes yet, but, you know, that was interesting to me. At the end of that level, thinking, I actually kind of like Skater Boy. It's a pretty good song.
Rob, have you had a similar epiphany playing video games?
You know, if I did, I wouldn't admit it. But I think one of the things with Rock Band is, like, there's something about the game experience that demands music that's both emotionally compelling, but you can see it with a slight ironic remove. Like, if you're playing a sort of truly great piece of art and you're messing it up and laughing, it might be a little disturbing, but if you're sort of like, you know, drinking and goofing off your way through Guns N' Roses, it feels completely appropriate.
So you would not recommend people doing like a Rock Band version of Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony or anything like that?
I don't think it rocks hard enough.
So,
well, I would absolutely love to see people, you know, start thinking about what other types of music games can we create. You know, can we create a game where you, you know, you hold a conductor's baton and go through Beethoven's Ninth Symphony?
Well, that in fact is in the works. I mean, we've actually covered that on the program in the past, that there are people who are looking at a kind of baton version of the little, you know, plastic guitar controller that you get with Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Let me ask you guys, is there an analogy here to what has happened with film music, where when film was a new medium, you know, people just sort of cobbled together the popular songs of the day as a soundtrack. Then you had people come along and write music for it. And now the current thing in film is you fill your movie with popular songs again, real recordings of popular songs. Is that what's happening today?
I think so. But at the same time, for better and for worse, it's all taking place in an atmosphere of overheated commerce. You know, you have the music business that's really desperately searching for new ways to sell music. You have the video game business, which is, you know, a lot of big public companies that need to show growth. And I think in that kind of hothouse atmosphere, you're going to see a tremendous amount of new product innovation. You're going to see some things that are absolutely great. I bet you're going to see some things that are absolutely awful. But I think it's going to be an exciting time to be a gamer and a great time to be a music fan. And that's about all you can ask for.
Chris, were you at the E3 conference in L.A.?
I was, in fact, at the E3 conference in L.A.
Now, that is the annual sort of, that's the big video, the gaming industry conference. What happened there? What was the big event?
Well, E3 was actually really sleepy and boring this year, up until Wednesday night, when MTV and then Harmonix, to make Rock Band, rented out the Orpheum Theater, brought in about 1,000 people, and, well, first they let us all play Rock Band 2 on a really big stage with really awesome controllers in front of, like, hundreds of people. And then they all ushered us into the theater, where we sat down and were treated to a 2-hour performance by The Who.
The Who. Playing,
The Who.
Playing at the E3 conference. What
yes,
does
playing at the to a crowd of video game industry executives and journalists and hangers on who went absolutely insane. It was amazing.
So what does that tell us about the future of music and gaming, of the future of Western civilization?
You know, I don't want to say the actual quote on the radio, but Roger Daltrey, when he was up there, said thank F-word for you guys. And I think that made us feel all really good. Thank, same word again, for anywhere music is getting heard. And so they really did approach this as, you know, we are playing to people who are really going to be instrumental in driving music sales. And actually touching on that topic, you know, what Rob kind of mentioned is that, you know, okay, probably a lot more people bought Saints of or listened to Saints of Los Angeles on their computers than played it on Rock Band. They just didn't pay for it. And that's kind of the key, that Rock Band downloadable tracks, you can't pirate them. You actually do have to put up $1.99, as it turns out, for each one. And so that's part of why this is such a big deal.
So, Rob?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about the music business is that, well, there's a bunch of things happening, but it's very hard to get people to pay for stuff. And everyone says, oh, you know, music on the internet is a great promotion. But a great promotion, it only seems to be a great promotion for more people to steal stuff. On Rock Band, they have perfect DRM. It's virtually unbreakable. So people are really paying for it. It's great business. And getting back to The Who, I think a lot of bands, their attitude is, wow, 10 years ago, we could play our music on the radio. We could sell more records. That might have been preferable to making a lot of money in a video game. However, given the choice between making money in a video game, getting exposure, getting our music out to a new generation, and sort of accepting a bleak future where you become a legacy band.
Where
the music is kind of running out, and we're the only people that listen to your music are the same fans who have been with you for 40 years. I think there's a choice that, like, okay, this might not be exactly what we expected. It might not be our first choice, but hey, it's there. It's a lot better than nothing, and it's actually pretty cool. Our kids like it. Our friends like it. Like, there's a tremendous amount of, like, enthusiasm there.
Well, you know, if we come back...
I do actually really enjoy playing Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Well,
yeah.
And if we come back to Guns N' Roses, the band we were talking about at the top, where, you know, they're finally bringing out this new song... first on the new Rock Band 2, there will be kids playing that video game who were not born when Guns N' Roses started the process of making this record.
Yeah,
and that...
Are you trying to scare me?
I think I have just blown my own mind.
Whoa.
Well, you know, something speaking to that, talking...
Chris, we're going to have to leave it there. Chris Kohler is games editor for Wired.com. Rob Levine here in the studio, freelance writer for The Times and other publications, talking about music and video games. It's a collision that seems to be working commercially. We'll see how it turns out artistically. Guys, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, under 50,000 people showed up to the recent Bon Jovi concert at Central Park, and yet the Great Lawn looked full. Now, how is that possible, given that the Simon and Garfunkel and Elton John and other concerts have drawn hundreds of thousands? New York Times reporter Jim Dwyer joins us to explain next. And later, the band Ambulance LTD comes to the rescue with a 60s rock sound that they will play live in our soundcheck studio.